a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
House State Affairs will now come to order. Welcome the internet listeners. Remind everyone to turn their cell phones off or on vibrate. Also, we have just one page here right now. If you'd like to come up and introduce yourself and tell us what your plans are.
Hello, my name is Madison. I am a senior at Roosevelt High School in Sioux Falls, and I plan to attend Augustana College this coming year and to study political science and business.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Yep.
With that, I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Consett, Gibson.
Here.
Gosh.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Killer.
Here.
Munsterman.
Here.
Nostrup. Parsley.
Here.
Virtue.
Here.
Westra.
Here.
Wink. Cronin.
Here.
Sure, there's a quorum.
We do have a quorum. I would entertain a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Gosh, second by Wink. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The minutes are approved. We'll change the order here today. We'll move Senate Bill 1 to the bottom of the calendar and start with Senate Bill 157. Make an appropriation to the Building South Dakota Fund and to declare an emergency. Proponent testimony on Senate Bill 157.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of House State Affairs. It's good to be with you this morning. I'd like to talk to you this morning about Senate Bill 157. As you're all aware, last year you all worked with the Senate and the Governor's Office to craft some economic development legislation created and did some things that would put us on a framework for future economic development opportunities. One of the components of that piece of legislation was that it would take a certain amount of dollars from the unclaimed property fund, an amount of 25% in fiscal year 15 and then 50% in fiscal year 16 and thereon. One of the things that we saw when we were trying to put the budget together this fall was that there would be some competing interest for that particular amount of money. And so the governor in his budget proposed that instead of some of the triggers that we find in the Building South Dakota Fund, that he would replace that with $30 million of one-time guaranteed money. And that $30 million guaranteed essentially through this particular piece of legislation would be there for the foreseeable future, an amount not to exceed $10 million per year to be dispersed. That does a couple of things. One, again, like I mentioned, offers a guaranteed source of cash for the Building South Dakota Fund for at least the next 3 years. That coupled with the $7 million that you invested last year, I think puts it on a very good trajectory. Excuse me. The second thing that it does is it allows us to take that 25% and then 50% of unclaimed property receipts that will come in and use that to bump up the inflationary increases for K through 12 providers and state employees to a 3% for fiscal year 15. And so as a result, that we believe is a win-win situation. As we get into the next piece of legislation, Mr. Chairman, I can explain some of the more guaranteed pieces that would go into Building South Dakota Fund, but I don't want to start to cloud two pieces of legislation. So this particular bill just provides that upfront $30 million of cash. It's an emergency clause, so we can take advantage of the cash that we have this year in the 14 budget. And so with that, I'll conclude my remarks. I will be back up here on the next bill if you have other questions on the mechanics of the fund, but I'd ask you to support Senate Bill 157 this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents on Senate Bill 157?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Julie Johnson. I rise on behalf of Absolutely Aberdeen, a growth initiative in Northeast South Dakota. We were privileged to be involved with all of you during the last legislative session when you created Building South Dakota. And in the meantime, I've been also able to be as involved as possible with all of the agencies that have been trying to give meaning to the great work that you did last year. I do believe you can be very proud of your work last year and what the agencies are doing with it. I would point out just a couple of quick things. One, we wouldn't want Senate Bill 157 to pass all by itself and 158 or some version of it not also be a companion piece of legislation. At some level, the only downside to 157 is that creates another fiscal cliff. If it were a standalone piece of legislation, in 3 years we'd be back looking for revenue again, and that's what brought us to the need to doing Building South Dakota. So I'm hoping that 157 and 158 can stay together in the legislative process. I do believe Senator Brown had been looking at a quick amendment to Section 2, but I don't see him in the room at this moment and don't know if that amendment has been called in with any of you. It was clarifying exactly how the $10 million limitation would work. With that, I would simply make myself available for any questions you might have and commend to you the passage of Senate Bill 157. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 157.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Wade Pogany. I'm representing the Associated School Boards of South Dakota. As you heard Commissioner Dildress talk about, the combination of 157 and 158 provides this year's mechanism for the increase in K-12 spending to schools. And we're very grateful to the commissioner and the governor for their efforts on this. We think that 3% is a necessary piece that we need to sustain our schools. And so we rise in favor of the bill, and we hope you'd support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, Senate Bill 157. Seeing none, is there opponent testimony to Senate Bill 157? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will waive rebuttal and go to committee questions. Any questions of the committee? Representative Parsley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This will be for Mr. Dildress, please. A couple of questions, if I might. The first question would be, when we limit this to $10 million, last year there were two different funding mechanisms for Build South Dakota. There was the unclaimed property, but then also any project that is funded under the tax exemption, sales tax exemption, that contractor's excise tax goes into the fund. I don't see where we've taken that out, and I know that's not a huge amount of money coming in now, but would we limit not being able to spend that money as well?
Sure. Representative Parsley, no, the contractor's excise tax, which incidentally, as of right now, is about $500,000, if my figures are correct from the last monthly report, would still flow into Building South Dakota. The reason for the $10 million cap on the $30 million was that, if you recall, back last year when you created the Building South Dakota Fund, any amounts of money that would be in Building South Dakota, 30% would automatically go into the Workforce Education Fund. And then there's a system of buckets that get filled there. And so all that money essentially gets spent. It's a little bit more unique than the other funds that have to go in front of the Board of Economic Development and have their projects reviewed and scored and decided upon. The Workforce Education Fund, that money goes out. It's automatically spent. So if there wasn't a $10 million cap, that $30 million would all go in and be spent essentially in 1 year, and there wouldn't be enough money left over in order to be able to fund those economic development projects. And so that's just a mechanism by which we could either appropriate $10 million a year for 3 years or $30 million total with no more than 10 to be allocated each year. But the contractor excise tax still will flow, in addition to the 30 and scored and decided upon. The Workforce Education Fund, that money goes out. It's automatically spent. So if there wasn't a $10 million cap, that $30 million would all go in and be spent essentially in 1 year, and there wouldn't be enough money left over in order to be able to fund those economic development projects. And so that's just a mechanism by which we could either appropriate $10 million a year for 3 years or $30 million total with no more than 10 to be allocated each year. But the contractor excise tax still will flow in addition to the $30 million.
So for clarification, that $500,000 for this year, let's say, or for next year, let's say that's what it is, that will flow with the $10 million for next year?
It will flow into the Building South Dakota Fund. The $10 million will still act on the cap, but we'll still have that amount of money in the Building South Dakota Fund. That won't change the contractor.
So we can't spend that?
We could spend no more than $10 million per year.
Okay, my second question, if I might, Mr. Chairman. this doesn't have a sunset in it. I mean, I understand it's $10 million, $30 million, $10 million a year, but the bill doesn't have a sunset in it. What happens after the...
Mr. Chairman. The $30 million would apply, or excuse me, the $10 million cap would apply to the $30 million. And so we would be 3 years down the road. Conceivably, the legislature would make investments into the particular fund with one-time money. When we get into Senate Bill 158, I can talk a little bit about other opportunities for money to flow into the fund. But the $10 million cap was intended to apply to the $30 million.
No, I understand the cap, but when the 3 years are up, the $10 million a year, this piece of legislation, if I could read it in a way that, could I read it in a way that says the Build South Dakota Fund is over then? Because there's no more, I mean, we talk about 3 years.
Mr. Chairman. No, sir, I'm sorry. That only applies to the appropriation. Building South Dakota Fund will still be able to receive money, and again, in 157, there's going to be legislative triggers built in so that more money will flow into Building South Dakota Fund. There is no limit on the amount of money that could go into Building South Dakota Fund. $100 million in a year could go into Building South Dakota Fund if you deem that appropriate. The $10 million has to just do with how it's distributed into the buckets. But there is no maximum limit on Building South Dakota Fund.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Lust.
For Mr. Dill, just to follow up on a previous line of questioning, that Section 2 indicates there can be no more than $10 million dispersed from the Building South Dakota Fund. And I think what Representative Parsley was saying is, I understand why that limit is there for the next 3 years, but should that limit of $10 million exist after the 3 years, after this original $30 million goes into the fund, why would you limit what can be dispersed from the fund?
Chairman. Representative, I think the thought process was that as we put together the minimum and the maximum balance that could be in the Building South Dakota Fund, the money will be distributed or dispersed from the fund every single July 1st. And the concern was that if in the next bill, again, that we're going to talk about, talks about a 1% cap and a 0.5% minimum. And so let's take the example of the cap, $14 to $15 million. If the $10 million cap comes off and $15 million flows into the Building South Dakota from the Building South Dakota Fund into the various funds, right away that means $4.5 million will go into the Workforce Education Fund. By that time, the Workforce Education Fund will not have the burden of paying for the limited English proficiency payments that were built into Building South Dakota Fund last year. That will go on to the general fund burden. So that relieves a $2.5 million liability from the Workforce Education Fund. That means that if the $15 million holds, $4.5 million will go solely into the Workforce Education Fund to be used for career and tech ed and on a per pupil basis. The argument we have is that if $10 million is the number, that additional $5 million would stay in the Building South Dakota Fund to be distributed the next fiscal year. And that money would be able to go in and be able to be utilized in those various other areas. Our Board of Economic Development is not going to stop once they've gone through their allocation and say, we won't take any additional applications. They'll be looking at next year's allocation, and every July 1st, money will flow into Building South Dakota Fund. So I'm concerned that if you take the $10 million cap out, you're going to have all this money sitting in the Workforce Education Fund, and you may jeopardize the other components of Building South Dakota, which are the true economic development pieces of that.
Representative Hanoff. Any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you. Is there any discussion and or action from the committee? Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move to pass on Senate Bill 157.
Second.
To pass by Representative Wink on Senate Bill 157, second by Gosh. Any remarks?
I think it's been explained far enough.
Representative Hunhoff.
No, I thought that cap was a harmless mistake, but now I'm hearing that it's a way to weaken the education portion of a really good compromise that we put together last session, stressing that education is a part of economic development. And the idea wasn't that we would weaken the education component. This is a sly way to take money away from education again. So with Section 2 in there, I'd be a no vote, and I hope you would be too.
Representative Parsley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would agree with the previous speaker. I mean, the whole purpose of what we were trying to do was to be able to support economic development with workforce development, which is the career training program that we were looking forward to as time went on with this funding mechanism. And now to limit that every year, it just takes us backwards. I mean, I understand for the first 3 years, if we want to do this, had we let 180 build South Dakota go under the projections, we'd probably have $15 to $17 million in that fund next year. So we're already saying that we're going to take a significant amount less for next year, and then we're going to limit that in the future years to $10 million when the fund may actually grow significantly more than that. That just seems counterintuitive to me to what we were trying to do with Build South Dakota. So it's going to be very difficult for me to support this, and I would hope others would also vote this motion down.
Further comments from the committee? Seeing none, the motion before us is do pass on House Bill or Senate Bill 157. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Consett. Gibson?
No.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
No.
Killer?
No.
Munsterman?
Aye.
Nostrup?
Aye.
Parsley?
No.
Virtue?
Aye.
Westra?
Aye.
Wink?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there were 9 ayes, 4 nays.
Senate Bill 157 will go to the floor with a to pass motion. With that, we will go to Senate Bill 158, an act to revise certain funding provisions to the Building South Dakota Fund. Proponent testimony on Senate Bill 158.
Morning again, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jason Dilges, Bureau of Finance and Management. Senate Bill 158 is a continuation of Bill 157. Again, passed the Senate with overwhelming support. It's our, what I'll call, mechanical change to the provisions of Building South Dakota, which would provide, in addition to 157, some guaranteed allocations to Building South Dakota Fund in years go forward. I'll try to speak a little bit to the concerns that were raised at the conclusion of the last particular bill. One of the aspects here by moving to a guaranteed one-time source of, or guaranteed $30 million, is really so that additional inflationary increases can be afforded by the state rather than one-time allocations. Remember that in 158 and 157 together, we were able to get from 1.6% to 3% for K through 12 education. That will remain in the base forever unless there's additional cuts that come down. The money that would accrue to the Workforce Education Fund really is one-time money. And we've heard, you've heard, all of us have heard, that one-time money is not favorable to schools and to providers. And so the goal that the governor took was to provide more ongoing money as opposed to one-time. And that's what Senate Bill 158 does. So just walking quickly through the bill, Section 1 essentially repeals the 25 and 50% unclaimed property amounts that would go into Building South Dakota. It also repeals the triggers. If you remember last year at the conclusion, some of the triggers were put in place that would afford us regular inflationary increases in K through 12 and providers. This repeals that because obviously there's no transfer from unclaimed property, and so as a result there doesn't need to be any triggers. Section 2 is similar language that we talked about in 157, so that it would be codified with the Building South Dakota Fund language. Section 3 talks about the guarantees, and let me spend a little bit of time here. First of all, it says that as long as there's at least 10% combined balances in the property tax reduction fund and the budget reserve fund, and the Building South Dakota Fund is less than 1% of the prior year general appropriations bill expenditures, that we would fill up the Building South Dakota Fund to at least 1%. Again, if our combined cash balance of the property tax reduction fund and the budget reserve fund are less than 10%, we would still take unobligated cash and fill up the reserves to a 10%. And so this would be in instances when you go home as a legislative body, we happen to have additional revenues that come in from the time you go home to the end of the fiscal year. A lot of times the legislature doesn't get a chance to spend those dollars, and they flow right to the reserves. And so this component would essentially provide, in those instances where there was unobligated cash, a source of revenue back into Building South Dakota Fund. Conversely, Section 4 also was added in the Senate side, and what that says is that if our combined balances in our rainy day funds exceed 10%, but we have a year by which we don't have any unobligated cash, we could fill Building South Dakota Fund up to a half of a percent of the general fund expenditures. So this really adds components whereby which we could make transfers at the end of the year into Building South Dakota to ensure that at least there is one half of 1% and no more than 1% in the fund. There is no limitation that the legislature, through special appropriations, could build that higher than that. This just provides, I think, for a floor. And so we did not come up with that idea, but we support that idea. The main crux of 158 is to give us more ongoing money to be able to invest back into education and providers. Having these two particular bills, we can see that flowing through to the additional 1.4% that's in the 15 budget, and we want to continue to offer those ongoing increases, and so that's why we believe 158 is a win-win solution for everyone. So hope you can support that, and I'm sure you'll have questions, and so I won't get far away. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 158.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Julie Johnson with Absolutely Aberdeen. We, too, are privileged to rise in support of Senate Bill 158. We're thankful that you are willing to, and the governor is willing to think about how to fund Building South Dakota after the 3 years of the $30 million one-time money goes away. And we're thankful that this program is working pretty well. I think there was some confusion about the previous bill. I'll talk to some of you afterwards on that one suggestion I made about an amendment. I would point out that I think by the time you get done with 157 and 158, you'll want Section 2 in 157 to sync up with Section 2 in 158. You'll want the same language there so that the $10 million language in both of those is the same, and I think you want that referring back to the fund that's actually created in Section 1 of Senate Bill 157. So I think we can resolve that confusion as well. I also rise on behalf, I am the registered lobbyist for Habitat for Humanity South Dakota. They wanted me to be sure and mention what an important program this has been for them and many other affordable housing projects in South Dakota. They've prepared a map of where the housing opportunity funds have been dispersed this year, and I think all of you can be proud of that and look forward to the opportunity of continuing funding for Building South Dakota. I'll allow the page. Thank you very much. With that, I'll stand by for any questions, and we'll be happy to help you through the process to the extent that I can. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 158.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mitch Richter. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota United School Association. We support the concepts of 157 and 158 because we realize that does free up some ongoing revenue. How you get there, I think Representative Parsley and Representative Hunhoff raised some good questions. we want to see, of course, more money going into education. We'd like to see it go in sooner rather than later, and these two bills, combined with a couple of the others that are floating through the process, will provide that opportunity. We think there's probably some one-time or ongoing money in one of those bills on the bond payments that we'd like to see pulled back in $2.5 million, but those combined together, realize in the next 6 or 7 days that will work itself out. But we support the concept and think that it's probably the right thing to do. Thanks.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Matt Krogman. I'm representing both Brookings Economic Development Corporation and South Dakota Voices for Children. 158, the importance we see in 158 is finding a consistent ongoing funding source for the Building South Dakota program, and would appreciate your support on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, is there opponent testimony to Senate Bill 158? Seeing none, I will open up to committee questions. Representative Parsley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This would be for Ms. Johnson. Mr. Chairman, could you help me a little bit with what you would do with Section 2 in this bill to make it better?
I'll tell you what I think needs to happen by the end of the day. And I thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the question. I think, at least referring back to 157, my legal opinion is that Section 2 needed to be referred back to the fund created in Section 1 and 157. And I know we're not on 158 here right now, but that should refer to the Building Management Fund, I think, in 158, because that's where you wanted to delimit the $30 million to allocate it $10 million a year for 3 years. Now, I think we'll want to give it good consideration as to whether Section 2 of 158 needs to do something similar. I didn't have an amendment prepared for today, so I don't want to screw up your committee, and I don't want to get in the way of anything Finance and Management may be able to do to help resolve it. But I think you want to... The $10 million cap referred to the $30 million flowing in, $10 million a year, not the additional contractor's excise tax flowing in. I think that's where you want to end up at the end of the day. I hope that helps.
Representative Hanoff.
For Ms. Johnson, did I understand to say you represent South Dakota Housing Opportunity Fund?
No, or I represent Habitat for Humanity.
Thank you. Could I ask you a question, housing related then?
Try.
if 158 goes into effect and in the scenario where it doesn't get a full 1%, or even if it gets the 1%, it's a 0.5%, would that get anywhere close to meeting the needs of affordable housing in South Dakota?
Well, it's certainly been a bigger boost than we had before, than all of us, all the funds. We all knew when we went down this path last year, we knew that if the budget year was bad, there would be extra economic development monies available, except for what might be coming in through the contractor's excise tax. So we knew we were all at risk. There's a whole lot more dollars available today, making a big impact in housing than there were before.
You know, that wasn't my question, though. If down the road, a couple years down the road, if we end up with the new formula in 158 and we get somewhere between a 0.5% or... So is that going to get anywhere close to meeting the housing needs of affordable housing as it relates to economic development in South Dakota?
I haven't done the math, so I couldn't tell you exactly, and I don't know what the right dollar amount is, sir.
Any further questions or action from the committee? Representative Lust.
I have a question for Mr. Dilges. I'm going to ask about the same question I asked you on 157 about Section 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm struggling with why we're concerned about the money flowing out of Building South Dakota, it seems like it's inconsistent with both what 157 and 158 are trying to do governing what goes into Building South Dakota. So I guess it's the same question I asked on 157. What is the significance or the merit in having Section 2 in the bill at all?
Chairman. The vision that the governor had as it related to the guaranteed $30 million is that at the pace in which the unclaimed property receipts were going to be dedicated to the Building South Dakota Fund, there was an estimate of somewhere from $7 to $8 million per year. And so when all of you went home last year, that's what you had assumed would come in.
For last year.
Okay? And that would grow over time. When you take a guaranteed pool of money and you dump it in and you say, this is a guaranteed source of money for 3 years, and you don't limit how much gets distributed, then all of it gets distributed through, and the money is going to essentially be gone. Okay? And so that's why you need to cap how much gets distributed every year. Say in 3 years we get some stimulus money from the federal government, and we decide we want to put it in here, and it's $50 million. If the $50 million gets dumped into Building South Dakota, it immediately, it doesn't stay in Building South Dakota, it gets distributed to those funds that you created last year. And so this vision that the governor had was to propose guaranteed money that would last Building South Dakota a number of years. That's why the cap language was put in.
And I'm with you on the first 3 years and the $30 million and kind of staggering how that $30 million's spent. I agree with you there.
Okay.
But in 158, and frankly, in Section 2 and 157, we're looking beyond the 3 years. We're looking in perpetuity, limiting dispersals from the fund to $10 million. Is that correct?
I think, Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Lust, the way that it was drafted, and I guess the understanding that we had was yes. However, I think that it would be very short-sighted of us to decide that we're going to derail this proposal because of what's going to happen 3 years down the road. So I think that rather than risk the whole thing, perhaps what could happen is Section 2 could be removed from Senate Bill 158. Section 2 in 157 essentially governs the $30 million. I think that would be a likely solution that would allow us to at least deal with the $30 million, because I think primarily that is our biggest concern. You or some future you can decide in 3 years whether or not you want to put a cap back on, I guess. If these bills fail, just want to let you know, I'm not threatening, I'm not trying to do anything other than inform you that once we get to Amendment Day on the General Appropriations Bill, we got to go back to 1.6%. So these obviously have to go forward in some way, shape. And as a result, if you feel like the $30 million should be incremented in $10 million lumps, then maybe you don't want to have that in 158. But I think, nevertheless, you should have it in 157, because 157 is the appropriation bill. So maybe a compromise to have you consider.
Any further comments? Seeing none, any action? Representative Lust.
Well, in anticipation of that, those comments made by Mr. Dilges, I had prepared an amendment to 158 to do just that and strike Section 2. I think to limit in perpetuity the dispersals from the Building South Dakota Fund at $10 million is not appropriate. I appreciate the comments by Mr. Dilges on the $30 million and spreading that out over a three-year period of time. I think that's more prudent. But putting it in 158 and limiting us this fund forever is not prudent. So I am sending out, I don't know if you've got it down there, I have the amendment. It's 158 AD, which essentially strikes Section 2 from 158. And I would move that
Motion.
Representative Gash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move Amendment 158AD.
Second.
Amendment 158AD is moved by Gash, second by Gibson. Comments on that motion?
I thought Representative Loss explained it well as to why Section 2 should be removed, and it should not be limited given the situation that might come up where a project or projects may arise in that year where more than $10 million would need to be dispersed. So I'd ask the committee to support me on my motion to amend. It's a great idea, yeah.
Any further comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of Amendment 158AD will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. 158 is amended. Further action on Senate Bill 158 as amended. Representative Virtue.
Thank you. I move to pass as amended.
Second.
Moved by Virtue, second by Gash. On House or Senate Bill 158 as amended. Any comments?
No, thanks. I think we've covered it quite well.
Okay. Representative Hanoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, first of all, make no mistake, we support the concept of the $30 million over the next 3 years to expand ongoing revenues and use one-time monies that way. We've had lots of fights over ongoing versus one-time monies, lots of games played as far as I'm concerned, but this is something we can support to use one-time monies at least to create more ongoing revenue. So that part, not in debate. But it's very disappointing to see what I could only call is almost Olympian quality sleight of hand budgeting with the Section 2 in the previous bill. I won't speak to the previous bill, but I mean, that's exactly the concern I have now with 158. We've just seen how money can be moved around, hidden in funds, and you know, that would be exactly our concern with 158. If it was a simple, straightforward 1% of previous year's revenues go to building South Dakota, that would make some sense. And that's the intent, I think, that's all of our intent. And but that's not what the bill says. The bill allows for all sorts of a sleight of hand budgeting that greatly weakens it. I think we should remember all we're really doing here is, as Mr. Dill just suggested, all we're really doing is suggesting to legislatures 3 years out what our intent is. So there's really no need for all of this language in there. Let's just say we intend for 1% of the previous year's general fund budget to go to Building South Dakota. Is that too much for a program that we all agree is probably one of the better planned, better thought out economic, probably the best economic development initiative this legislature has ever seen, that expands the idea of just making top-down investments, expands it into affordable housing, education, grassroots economic development for all the other 200 small towns around South Dakota? I mean, that thing, a lot of us have a lot invested in this thing, and 158, the way it reads right now, looks fairly innocuous, but greatly weakens it. Sends a poor message to the legislature 3 years from now that this can just become a part of the appropriations fight, and Building South Dakota deserves better than that. So if we could amend it on the floor to a simple 1%, I would, and take care of the language about the caps, you know, I could support it wholeheartedly, but I can't support it in this fashion. Thank you.
Any further remarks from the committee? Representative Bloss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate Representative Hunhoff's concerns. When I look at where we started this legislative session and the governor's proposal, which was wholly inadequate to just basically throw scraps to Building South Dakota as they were available, I think 158 is a more concrete plan with specific floor and caps that I think is workable. I think will prove effective for the state of South Dakota. And I hearken back to the comments, the response to the question by Representative Parsley in the previous bill of the other funds that are flowing into here from the large projects that are brought to the state because of this. So we're not limiting that. We're just talking about the reserves and the state of the reserves and tying them into this, which which is appropriate. So I would ask the members of the committee to support the motion to pass.
Seeing no further comments, the motion before us is to pass on Senate Bill 158 as amended. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Consett, Gibson, Gosh, Hunhoff, Killer, Munsterman, Nostrup, Parsley, Virtue, Westra, Wink, Cronin, Lust.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 9 ayes, 4 nays.
Senate Bill 158 will go to the floor with the do-pass motion. Next on our agenda is Senate Bill 1. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 1.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the State Affairs Committee, State Senator Ryan Maher, District 28. Senate Bill 1 is a product of our work we did over the summer with the Executive Board. We had an interesting session, I guess you would say, as an Executive Board this year. We were rather busy. We went out and we had an independent audit done of the Executive Board. We contacted NCSL, and they came back with their review. And with that, they came up with about 12 different recommendations, and one of the recommendations is found here in Senate Bill 1. And it essentially said that in the age of term limits, we have to restructure the way we manage our Legislative Research Council, that the executive director needs to answer to one individual or one group consistently and not have separate bosses as we currently have, where the executive director answers to the U-Board in the interim, and then answers to the House and Senate leadership during session, and then there's that disjointedness, and it also breaks down into a lack of communication sometimes between the executive director and the legislative branch that manages it. And that's what you'll find in Section 1 of the bill. To provide some of that continuity, you'll see that one of the recommendations from that report is to have the President Pro Tem and the Speaker of the House serve as the chairs of the Executive Board in alternating years. And then in Section 2, it allows the E-Board to meet year-round to provide that continuity and consistency of leadership that our executive, that our Legislative Research Council will be able to have that support and guidance and sort of the constant changing that we've seen over the years with the advent of these term limits of the age that we're operating in. So, and then it also goes on to clean up some of the other language in Section 3, telling that the E-Board will operate from sine die to sine die and how that's all laid out. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Further proponents on Senate Bill 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Craig Teason, Rapid City. As a member of the Executive Board and a member of the subcommittee that dealt with the audit that was conducted this summer, I just want to add my remarks to the Chair Maher's statements. I think the thing that we have to remember is that the legislature is an employer. It's a very odd situation in that we are a part-time employer with full-time employees. And secondly, none of us as legislators probably got elected and came to peer so that we could be a manager of employees. We all have other priorities. We all have our other agendas. We all have the other things that we came here to do. But ultimately, we are employers, and we have about 25 full-time employees and many, many more part-time employees during session. And those employees need to have one employer that they can look to for continuity as they do their jobs as our employees in the Legislative Research Council. And really that's what Senate Bill attempts to do, is to outline a process where where they can answer to one boss throughout the year. Now, how we get there is not all that important to me. I think that what's really important is the concept that we establish one line of authority, one line of communication for our employees to answer to. And by the way, it was the number one proposal from NCSL in their audit report, is that this is the number one thing that needs to be addressed. And I have found anecdotally that this has been an issue for many years. I've had conversations with Senator Rodin when he was in leadership in the House, and he recalls times when it clearly was an issue that our employees, the manager of our employees, would, you know, is answering during the session to leadership, is answering out of session to the executive board, and frankly getting different directions. Currently, you know, we're lucky when we have a chair of the executive board who works very closely with our legislative leadership. That provides at least some degree of continuity. But I think those of us that have been here for a few years know very well that it's easy to play one leader against another. And if you have an issue during session and you're answering to one leader, and then out of session you're answering to somebody else, it's not a good situation. Our employees deserve better than that. So I would ask you to accept this solution or come up with some other solution that first and foremost provides for continuity of leadership for our employees. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 1. Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 1? Seeing none, we will go to committee questions. Any questions about the committee? Seeing none, is there any action? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Amendment 1FD and would distribute that down.
Representative Lust moves Amendment 1FD, seconded by Gosh. Comments, explanation.
Thank you. Well, I agree 100% with my senator. And this has been a problem for a number of years in having that inconsistency of leadership. This amendment seeks to... I think the proposals in Senate Bill 1 are very modest. And I think that to resolve the issues we've had, we need to make it more significant, the changes more significant. Rotating chairs between the Senate and the House, to me, is of minor consequence. I think the bigger issue is that consistency with leadership as we recognize it during session should be similar or the same as leadership as we recognize it outside of session. So 1FD does a couple things. First, it removes the year-round function of eBoard. You know, the current structure of having leadership, conventional leadership, I'll say, during session and eBoard outside of session makes sense, I think, because when we're here, we've got our accepted and common leadership practice. That's when we're here. And then when we're not here, everyone's not here, there should be a board delegated. So I know there's been proposals to do away with the eBoard entirely, and I don't think that's appropriate. But I also don't think it's appropriate that eBoard function during the session, because we have our traditional and historic leadership structure in place. So I don't think we need to have a year-round eBoard. The second change made in this amendment is to have the majority leader from each House and the minority leader from each House as ex officio members of the committee. And again, that is the traditional structure of leadership we've had in this body for time immemorial. And those people should continue to be in the leadership structure year-round. And I would qualify that by saying this is not a lust for power, because it will not apply to Representative Lust. I will not be majority leader when this would come into application. But it's been a long criticism I've had of our structure that the majority and minority leaders are not on e-board. They absolutely should be, and then we need that consistency. And then the last amendment would be to have the rotation between the House and Senate begin immediately this year rather than wait till the next e-board is elected. So that's the amendment, 1FD, and I would ask for your support.
Any further comments on the motion to amend? Representative Parsley.
Just at the risk of upsetting the apple cart here, just a technical, would we need to change on line 6 of page 2, section 3 to section 2? Oh, so that doesn't need to be included in the amendment. Yep.
Seeing none, all those in favor of amendment 1FD will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate Bill 1 is amended. Further comments and or action? Representative Gosch.
I would move due pass as amended on Senate Bill 1.
Second. Representative Gosch moves due pass on Senate Bill 1 as amended, second by Westra. Any comments?
I'd just say that it was explained very well by the proponents and by the mover of the amendment. So with that, just to ask the committee to support me on the motion to do pass as amended.
All right. The motion before us is a do pass motion on Senate Bill 1 as amended. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Consett. Gibson.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Munsterman. Nostrup.
Aye.
Parsley.
Aye.
Virtue.
Aye.
Westra.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Let's share the 12 ayes, one excused.
All right, Senate Bill 1 will pass to the floor of the do-pass motion. Representative Lust.
I have a title amendment that I would move 1FTB.
Second.
Representative Gosch, or Representative Lust moves title amendment 1FTB, second by Gosch. All those in favor will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate Bill 1 title is amended. Any further business?
Motion to adjourn.
Seeing none, Representative Gosch moves to adjourn. Is there a second? Second by Parsley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. We are adjourned.